Hello and welcome to episode 146 of the Arena Regulars podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Jeff.
And we're source for drunken Magic the Gathering Arena content.
That's right, just a couple of regular dudes drinking some irregular beers and talking about Magic the Gathering, in particular, the online client MTG Arena.
That's right. And we have a specialty tonight. Specialty? No, we're talking about a specific format. Do we have a specialty in it?
Definitely
I don't
not.
know.
No, I mean,
You'll have to decide. But we're talking about Murders at Karlov Manor Limited. That is the draft format and sealed format, as there are some things or reasons you'd want to play that format coming up soon. So we're going to get into that shortly. But first, each week we drink a beer. We rate it on a scale from bronze to mythic, just like the tiers in Arena. And so, Jeff, what's on tap?
All right. This week we have something that I have had before, but I am excited to get its official rating on it. Because I've never, one thing that's so interesting about rating beers is like when you just have a beer and you're not thinking about where it stands in the grand scheme of beers you've tried before, you just kind of sit there and enjoy it and you're like, huh. But when you have to rate it at the end, you're like, all right, what exactly do I like? What don't I like? How good is it really? And it puts a lot of things in perspective. So I'm always excited to try beer I've tried before, like a few times, and then rate it on the show and be like, actually, I thought I liked this, but I actually hate it.
That happens a lot, actually.
Yeah. So tonight we have Rat Klops. This is an IPA by Bellwoods. Generally speaking, Bellwoods is a very good brewery. So yeah, let's put them to the test.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a rat with one eye.
That's true. It's an IPA and it's 6%. Let's crack this baby open. All right. With that, we have some magic news. Earlier, I was talking about events that you could play Murders at Karlov Manor Limited in. So the qualifier weekend is this weekend. That's February 17th and the 18th. So it's all... it's like Murders at Karlov Manor sealed into draft. So the best of three play-in is this Friday. That's tomorrow, if as far as we're actually like recording right now. So yeah, best of luck to everyone playing in it. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but we do have a pro tour next weekend. It's Murders at Karlov Manor Pro Tour. It's in Chicago. And that's February 24th and 25th, which will be pretty sweet. They're also going to be playing Limited there. So, hooray! All the cool things. Tournaments, events. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's been forever since the last Pro Tour, even though it's been a totally normal amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it just always feels like forever. The holidays and all that stuff just like... drags everything out. So I'm really happy to get back to some competitive magic, be able to watch. I'm busy that weekend. I'm going to be in San Francisco for my sister-in-law's wedding, which is gonna be very exciting.
That is fun.
So I'll probably have to do one of those have the score on my phone and be checking it every once in a while,
kind of. How's Reed Duke doing?
Yeah, exactly. That's essentially what I'm gonna be doing. So we also have another thing. There was a big mystery going on in the multiverse, really Ravnica, for Murders at Karlov Manor, and it has been solved. Basically, there was a website. You could do daily little puzzles, and as a community, if everyone did the puzzles, they would unlock new content. Basically, it unlocked an 11th story to the Murders at Karlov Manor story thing, as well as some special stuff on Arena. You can skip all that. You don't have to do all the different things. All you have to do is go to our Discord. The link is in the show notes below. I have posted all the information you need to know about it. But if you go there and you build a deck with a specific name, you can get 5,000 experience and some cool sleeves for your deck for free. So might as well do it, because experience is free and you should just take it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, but yeah, that's just a reason to go visit our Discord. Anyway, Jeff, let's get to the topic of the evening and air our grievances, I think. is really what's happening. To start us off, Jeff, Murders at Karlov Manor Limited, how do you feel about it? How's it going for you?
It's stupid and I hate it. How do you like about
It
No, it's actually pretty fun. I
is.
so spoilers, I don't think either of us have been doing a whole lot of winning.
Let me tell you, buddy.
Yeah, sounds like you might be even worse off than me, but I've been mostly playing sealed because we talked about the this weekend's sealed event. The plan was to prepare for that, but I am not yet qualified, so maybe it's time to just start drafting and stop getting friggin' bombed out of every goddamn game I play. But I think, yeah, like a lot of what I thought, clues are cool and disguise is an interesting mechanic and it's fun. It's just like it feels like every game I come out on the wrong side,
Yeah, literally every game, just like something crazy happens and I lose. Like something, I've had a rough time. I've been trying a bunch of different things, which I shouldn't be. I should just be doing exactly the same thing over and over again. And as we get into the archetypes from 17 Lands and like what the best cards are so far, and like the most winningest strategies are all the fucking things that we talked about. And what we thought were good, all the cards we thought were good are good. I still fucking lose all the time. I don't know what's happening.
So that's the thing, right? Like, so for me personally, before this show, I never look at any 17 lands data. The plan is like the first 2 weeks will be me on my own trying to struggle in this world of everyone else having data that I'm like intentionally keeping away from myself. And then before this show, I look at the data. And because I was doing so poorly, I expected it to basically tell me the cards that you're valuing highly are bad, and the cards that you are not valuing highly are good. That is not what the data said at all. It said everything that you think about the format is not only confirmed, but it's actually even better than you thought it was. Like it's a bigger gap than what even you were thinking. And so then I was just like, well, then why am I losing?
Yeah, it's so I do want to say, like, I think that's a good practice to take as well. So Jeff's saying, don't look at any data as far as like which cards are considered good or bad or all that stuff for 2 weeks after the sets come out. I totally agree. I think that's awesome. Also, because the data is so confusing early on, within the first 3 days, like there is technically data, but like, is it helpful or not? I don't know. It's kind of
It hasn't stabilized, so.
exactly. So you need more data points before it actually becomes something that's actually useful. And we're talking all about this. If you know what 17 Lands is, it's a website that takes all your, it's like if you have 17 Lands scraped through your data on MTG Arena, it puts that into numbers and basically says there's a bunch of different metrics of like which cards are good, how long they sit in packs, if you see it twice, all that kind of stuff. If you're really into limited, you should definitely check it out. Definitely get it on your computer. It's a sweet tool. If you like numbers and you like percentages and all that stuff, dive into it. There is so much to look at. There's also a lot of things that you can take out of it that are wrong, I think. So we'll try to talk about specifically which points we're looking at, because I tend to take a lot of things with a little bit of a grain of salt. They also happen to be 17 lands are very entrenched Magic players, and they're very focused and good. So the percentages skew a little bit higher. So
It's a lot of
50%,
selection bias. Someone who even knows about 17 lands tends to be a better limited player.
just because there's someone who has looked for such a resource,
Yeah,
you
because you
know.
have to subscribe, like Zach was saying, for them to have access to your data. You don't they
You
don't
have
just
to
scrape like the arena back end. It's this isn't something published by Wizards or anything.
So the information we're going to be talking about is just from players who opt into this and not just every arena player. So that already weeds out a ton of people. The people that I have been playing against, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Whoever's kicking my ass is really pumping those numbers, but
It always feels like I am in a commanding position with my little dorky dudes, and they have almost no life. And then they literally play like some bomb that's just unbeatable in my deck, and I can't get past it. And then I look at like, well, maybe I should be prioritizing ways to just beat those bombs and still play the same deck. And then I'm like, maybe I should just draft every rare, and I should just be five color soup of bullshit because those beat me all the time randomly. I don't know why. It's just
That's how
like,
I'm feeling in sealed. Every pool I get, I feel like I can't really push it. Like my rares are spread out across a bunch of different colors, and I have one or two of the five color land thing. I have maybe some green fixing, but my green sucks, so I don't really want to be base green. And I always end up making the decision that it's better to be the more consistent two color deck, or maybe a splash like. I had Aurelia's Vindicator once. It's like, okay, I'm gonna splash this because it's a morph that I can flip up that just dot like is the best card in the whole format.
Also, everyone knows Aurelia's Vindicator is the card.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
So I don't know what I said, but
No, I just wanted to
that's
be
what I
very
got.
clear. That card is the best.
Oh, the
It's
best card in the
busted.
format? Yeah,
Yeah. I just wanted
it's
to highlight that
outrageous.
point. I'm not trying to say that you said it wrong. I just wanted to say it
Oh,
again.
I see, I see. I said it casually, but it's like, yeah,
Yes.
that
I
card is
wanted to
outrageously good.
bold.
Unless it's in my deck, because then you literally never ever flip it
Oh, yeah.
over.
Or see it ever.
Yeah. But yeah, so and then I play against these decks that just go like mountain, forest, swamp, like play all my bombs for the rest of the game. No
Yeah.
fixing.
Nope.
No,
Don't need it.
they didn't need it. They don't draw
No.
it late either. It's not like we're in a top deck war and then they draw their stupid fixing spell, which is one of the other like ways you get punished from playing multicolored decks.
Yeah.
No, they just keep drawing more bombs. So, I don't know if it's the it's if I am on the wrong side of variance on some of this, or if it really just is better to because the bombs are so good. To just like scrap together a sketchy mana base and like the upside is so high that it's worth it to do that.
Honestly, I like it. So this is where I am with the format. Before looking at the data and being like, okay, these are the things I should be doing, or the things that I was reaffirmed of what I think I should do, I'm fully in the space of like, take every crazy bomb you can find, figure it out, prioritize fixing if you can, but you don't even need to because for whatever reason it just comes together somehow for people. I don't know.
Yeah, like
Let
disguise is
like
obviously huge because a lot of
yeah
the times they would have sketchy hands, but disguise sort of
helps.
gets you out of it. But it only goes so far. Like most of your bombs aren't disguise.
Yeah, I do want to say before we get off the topic of Aurelia's Vindicator and just like things that suck.
No, Aurelia's Vindicator doesn't suck. It's very, very good.
Sorry, it sucks against me when I have to deal with it. I had an opponent who played it and it was very early. It was their first morph. They flip it up and I'm like, geez, they flipped it up for no value to beat me with a 4/2 flying
Oh man, I
life
never
link in the
had the
air.
stones to do that.
So they're beating me in the air. I obviously take a turn off to kill it through the ward because I'm like, all right, this thing's got to
Yeah, it
go,
takes your whole
but
turn. Yeah.
takes my whole turn. We go through the rest of the game. Things
Unless
are
you have
going
that
well.
edict. That's what I'd be so scared of. If I
Oh,
did
pick your
that, they would
poison.
immediately edict me.
Pick your poison. That would be great. I wish I was playing green, but no, I was trying to play some aggressive strategy that can't beat a fucking flying lifelinker that I can't target very easily. Anyway, game keeps going so long so that I kind of forget that we're playing the same game. And
Right. But I
so,
mean, this person's gained what, like 12 life off this?
yeah, at least
Like a
eight.
24 point life swing or
Yeah, something
16
crazy.
point life swing?
So we're going through the game. They have a couple more face down creatures, and I'm trying to get into a spot. I'm basically at like 4 or 5 life, and I'm just like, I have like a Zoni and a bunch of cool stuff, and I'm like, I'm
Oh,
looping.
Azoni's a
I
pretty
know.
fucking awesome card.
Yeah, right. So I splash a Zoni in my blue black deck, and I'm basically like doing revolving door with my 3/1 flying zombie that I crack clues and I make
Oh
it
yeah,
bring him back.
right.
So I was doing that over and over again to chump block everything and like trade off with random stuff that I could. I was finally in a position where I was like, I can start attacking now. And then they fucking, one of their two disguised creatures is another Arrayed as
I knew
Vindicator.
it. I knew that's where this was going.
And so they flip it up and they exile my whole board. And I'm like, this feels familiar. What's going on? I was like, is this the same opponent? And I'm going through, I'm like, yeah, they had two? And I
You're
was
like, is
like,
this game two or
I
something? And
was
that
so
was
good. I
game
was like,
one.
play just a, did that other game already finish? And now I'm playing a new game and they have one?
And I'm just getting
No.
vindicated again.
They had
That's
just,
insane.
it was disgusting. And I was like, I fucking hate you. You, the thing is, that means that they opened two. It doesn't mean that they got past one of them. You know, you opened two. Like nobody passes that card. I just,
You never know, but yeah, come on. It is
come
like,
on.
it would be the best card in the set, even if white was a bad color. And white is by far the
The
best color
best,
in the set.
the absolute
So
best color.
it's just like nuts how good
Yeah.
that card is.
Anyway, I was furious
Yeah.
afterwards.
You're like, nothing can stop me now.
Not even nothing. It was just like I finally am turning the corner. I can start attacking and doing stuff. And the only thing that would stop me was you wiping my entire board and nothing happening to your board. And even and
Yeah.
then I even had a card to like, I think I could kill it, but like you don't get all your cards back on the battlefield. They go to your hand. And so then I still
That's
die for the rest of their board.
when I first read the card, I assumed they all come back to the battlefield because, that's what this stuff does. And then when I had it and I was reading it, I was like, I don't know if they kill this, like I'm fucked. And I was like, no, if they kill this, it bounces their whole board. Yeah, I flip it.
Yeah, because the reason that it says like bounce it back to your hand is because you can also exile cards from your graveyard so that they go
Yeah.
back to your hand.
Just in
But
case it
like,
wasn't good enough
but that's
without
the
that.
but the thing is like it just it's just a mass bounce spell. Like even
At
there's
worst.
at worst,
At
like there's
worst, it's an overloaded cyclonic rift.
it's
Oh,
that has a body that kills
yeah,
you.
true. Yeah.
It's not
At
even
worst,
like
it's a 4/2 ward 2 overloaded cyclonic
Iconic
rift.
Rift with lifelink. Like, what the fuck?
It is
Like,
a ridiculous card.
it's ridiculous.
It is one of the limited bombs of all time.
It's gotta
Like,
be. It's gotta
just
be.
everything, and unlike a lot of bombs, if you can't play it, like, because they're just too expensive, you just play
You
it
just
as a
play it as
2/2, so it never gums up your hand. Like,
it's. And it's not that I hate this card and all that stuff. Like I even had a, I so the sealed pool that I ran before we get into the numbers, I wanted to, I ran the I tried this weekend for the like best of one sealed play-in event,
hell, me too.
and I opened a weird pool.
Yeah.
I had like two analyzed pollens, and then that was
Yeah.
this was the
I've
pool
opened
where.
a lot of analyzed pollens in my sealed pools,
I'm just like, what the fuck is this? But I opened two of those and then a couple other things. And through all of it, I actually opened Aurelius Vindicator. But my white was so iffy that I
Yeah.
ended up playing like an aggressive black-red deck, splashing the card, being
Course,
like, I can splash this for a single white. It'll be fine.
yeah,
And went like straight 1-2, like awful.
oof, yeah,
And I was just like,
that sounds pretty
man.
similar to me, except I tried 5 times and it was like that every time. At the start, I was taking it seriously, and then by the end, I was just like having a few beers, being like, what is
It's
happening tonight? So
like just
I've never lost this much in my life. But every time I thought I had a medium to good pool, and then it's just like close games, but always on the wrong side. And it was always happening that every mistake I made felt like it cost me the game. And my opponents were like doing things that, in my opinion, were mistakes, but it just never mattered because I never had the cards to punish them or like the mana to do 2 things in one turn or like, and then every time I'm like, okay, well, I guess I should suspect this creature. I don't know what you. I could go either way. These are both good options. If it plays out this way, I want this way. And then like wrong one, you lose. And then like next time, like every
Like
single time I made like a slightly close decision, it was wrong and I got punished for it.
I have exactly the perfect analysis for this. So I was not analysis, sorry. This is just a
Analogy.
story. Analogy, thank you. I'm literally playing a game. I have commanding board state. Opponent wipes the board. Sure, nothing. I play a couple creatures. They play a fa two face down creatures. I'm like, okay, you spent your turn six face down creatures. That's fine. I have a removal spell in my hand. I just need to remove a blocker, and then I'll be able to survive. Like, there's no way they can like. I'm pretty low life, but as long as I kill one and I can attack through some stuff, I'll be fine. I'm looking at the two. I'm like, do I kill the first one or the second one? I was like, okay. Let's kill the second one. Sure, that's fine. It's a Basilica Stalker. I'm like, sick. That's like a flying three power creature. I'm at three life. I'm great. I'm so happy that I killed that. Opponent says, nice. I'm like, sick. We all know that I killed the right one. Their
We're,
turn.
that's what they're saying nice about. They're congratulating me on killing the right one.
That's what I do. When I get Thoughtseized and they pick the card that I think they should take, I say nice. Like, you did the right one. I don't know if other people think that, but I think that that's arena etiquette. I try to give my
Meanwhile,
opponent.
they're like, did I take the wrong card? Oh no,
Yeah, I'm not
is
trying
that a
to.
sarcastic nice?
Yeah. Anyway, I pass the turn. I'm at three life. Opponent with six mana immediately flips their ally assailant, and I lose three life. They gain three life, and the game's over. And
I
it was
thought it was
the.
for some reason I thought it was gonna be the red like lizard thing that does the
Oh,
damage when you
well,
flip something,
yeah, this is even worse because this is not even a rare. This is just like
but
a common that, like. So basically, it was like, hey, flip a coin. Which one's going to kill you? I had a flying blocker, so I like
Right,
wasn't going to
so
die from the
you did
Basilica
pick
Stalker.
the wrong one.
I legit picked the wrong one. And it was just like, that's been my, it just feels like my experience over and over again. It's like, I just picked the wrong thing. There's two things I could do. I picked the wrong one and I lose. Like immediately because of it. And it's just like infuriating. And so.
And for me, it's been a bit of like it was a mistake. But like you have so many games where you make so many small mistakes, right? And you just get away with them. And right now I'm in one of those phases where I'm not getting away with anything. If I don't play perfect, I lose. And if I play perfect, then we have a close game and I like edge it out, you know? It's Or whatever I think is perfect. Obviously, I'm probably still making mistakes, but
Oh, for sure. I'm definitely making mistakes, but like through the whole thing, I think like I don't. So this is all saying like I don't think the format is terrible, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with the cards that are being played. I don't think there's anything wrong with my opponents. I don't think anyone's like weirdly cheating, and I don't think that like the format is too bomby, which like people are talking about like, oh, there's like bombs everywhere. Like they just have it always. Like kind of reminiscent of like Crimson Vow, where there's a bunch of bombs, and so removal becomes really important because the bombs are so huge that you need to make sure you can kill
But the
them.
removal is good.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Like they
saying.
did compensate it is a bomby format. The bombs are very good, but the removal is also good. So I don't mind it so much. Just stop like chucking your premium removal that can take care of a bomb at like a disguise random disguise
Yes,
creature or
you
whatever. Like,
can't do that at all. Honestly, you can't really kill disguised creatures like at all. Like there's almost no reason to, because like they're hard to target and you're gonna
I've
pick
had
the
to
wrong
like
one.
train that out of me because sometimes it's so tempo efficient to just like
It
get that
is.
off the board. It uses all my mana and it's like it's not really using all your mana when you're paying for ward. It feels that way when you play shock on turn three because you're like, I use all three mana this way. And it's like, stop like thinking that way though, because paying for ward when you won't have to later is not a good use of that
Yeah.
mana.
The other thing is like your shock kills like a Night Drinker Moroi, which is a 4/2 with flying and black that like I don't know is probably one of the best black cards because it like can kill you really quickly. It's also the same body as Aurelia's Vindicator, which also dies to shock. You just have to pay the ward because Aurelia has it no matter what. But it's kind of like I think I'm just at that point where it's like killing ward creatures before they turn face up is just not worth it. And most of the flip costs or the flip activation things aren't really that good. So,
Unless there's a reason, like they double blocked and now they're
yeah.
going to
And
lose
you're,
both creatures, that kind of thing.
And they're like tapped out and all that stuff. But other than that, like just on your turn, deciding to, I guess I'll just kill this just because. Like, it's going to be a Nervous Gardener, which is like, if you're playing against green, they play Nervous Gardener so much because it's actually pretty good. I thought it was terrible
It's
when I
gonna be
first read
Nervous
it.
Gardener, and then you're gonna kill it, and they're just gonna have all of their colors anyways,
Yeah, well,
so.
yeah, so Nervous Gardener is like, if you're playing against green, almost always expect Nervous Gardener as like their first morph creature or disguise creature, sorry. Because it's the cheapest to flip up. And that's also something that I'm starting to learn is like, always play your cheapest disguise costed creature first, which I was doing the opposite, where I was like, I'll play the most expensive one first that I want on the battlefield. And then the second one is the one that they will expect to be the one that's good. So they'll try to kill the second one and I can keep the first one. But everyone's just playing just the thing they can flip up first at the beginning.
Because like turn four, flip my dog walker, play a two drop is a very good turn four.
Yeah. And that's I've
By
been
the way, if
seeing.
they're white, it's always dog walker.
Yeah, it's always Dog Walker. And then when it's not Dog Walker, it's Granite Witness and you fucked up. Because Granite Witness kills you. That's the problem. If it's just like, so I do want to slow down a little bit because I know we're throwing just like a lot of names and cards
Just
at
throwing
everybody.
shit out there.
Okay. Because before we get into this, and I know I've said that probably about 5 times this episode right now, because this Rat Clops is
I think
real.
we're just into it,
I
man.
think
I
we're
think
just
we're
into
already into it.
it. Just that we have been doing badly. And so I want to have a really good list of advice to help you, because that is part of our jobs as like a magic podcast, is to tell you things that you should do. I can just help you feel better. If you're doing bad, just welcome to the club, buddy. If you're doing well, fantastic. You're doing better than Magic Podcasts. So good job. Like, that's great. I really hope that you're doing really well. I want you to do well. I want to do well too. This is the things that I've learned, and these are the things I've seen, and this is what 17 Lands says. This is this is
It's
what
our
this
job to lose so that you can lose less.
hopefully. That's what I really, really hope, that you lose less than me, because now I have to put money into the client again because I've done so badly.
Except I don't have nuggets of wisdom of here's what I was doing wrong, because all the stuff I thought about the format is confirmed by the data. That's what I was
Yes.
saying at the beginning. So it's like
So
I was
but
playing and I was like, black blows. I'm gonna stay away from black. White's the best. Like Boros seems pretty sweet. And then it's just like, oh, I must have been totally wrong about all that stuff because I keep
Yeah.
like playing Boros and losing to black decks. The data's like, nah, you're right. You were
Yeah.
super right. Black is awful, white is great.
Yeah. So that's a great leaning point. For the archetypes, usually in this episode, we just talk about all 10 different archetypes. But exactly what you said, the first four best decks, most winningest decks on 17 Lands are all the white decks. White, red, green, white, blue, white, black. Those are the best ones.
And they're literally ordered by the order of the other colors after white.
Yeah.
Like, it just couldn't be more, like, I couldn't be more black and white.
The black and white format. Hey, is that a joke? Because it's the murder mystery set and it's like
Oh,
black
did
and
they do
white
that on
movies.
purpose?
Oh, maybe, maybe.
I think that the only takeaway from this top four for me is that white is so good that it can even drag terrible black up to the
Which
top
you
four.
don't see. We did not see that in Lost Caverns of Ixalan. Like,
Usually the garbage color drags
drags.
down the best color, so to like a mid pack or below deck. It's unusual to see all four of the best decks be have a color in common.
Yeah. I would like to say that white black success could be due to the fact that Wisp Drinker Vampire, the gold uncommon for white black, is really good, and really good in that deck too.
But
It's
it's probably
like,
in all of these white decks, right? Because you're just heavy white and you're just flipping it for white, right?
oh no, this isn't a
Oh no, the
common
wisp drinker.
wisp
Okay.
creature. So this is the 4-mana 2/4 that flies, and whenever you play a creature with power 2 or less, it drains your opponent. That card
That's
is,
pretty, yeah,
it's
busted.
probably, I'm assuming that that's what's propping up white black, because that's the card that's like, hey, my aggressive white deck can't get to the finish line. Now I just can play this card and play creatures and I win.
Right. And then the deck probably makes decent use of the black cards that don't suck, which is like the uncounterable kill spell and stuff like that. So if you get the uncommons, it's probably one of those decks where if you get the uncommons from black and then white's commons are all good.
Yeah,
So it's
all of
like
them.
that's how you end up there, and that's why the deck does pretty well.
Yeah. Let's just talk about white commons and the top commons, because I feel like all of this is just kind of mushed together. It's hard to talk
So
about specific decks.
the top six commons, one of them is not white.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. That's insane.
That's crazy. Like and I don't know. So Jeff, do you want to list off like the top? So when we're talking about this, we're talking about the commons that are the best in game in hand win rate, which on 17 lands is GIHWR.
I think it's the best metric to go by. It means that when you draw this card, how often do you win? It's not perfect, and for drafting, it doesn't take into account like how high you have to draft the card to get it. So there could be some like better value picks if you were looking for something like that. This doesn't care about that at all. This is just like, what's the best? What common wins the most, assuming that you actually saw that, drew that card at some point in the game. Number one, surprise, surprise, is a three. I mean, no, Novice Inspector at 60.7%, almost 61% win rate if you draw Novice Inspector. And that's not even saying that you drew it in your opener, like where this card obviously shines. If you did the stats on how often you win when this is in your opener, I bet it's crazy high, like 70 plus.
So as we're going to get into the rest of these, there's an obvious like there's something going on. Like obviously something's happening. The next card is Makeshift Binding, obviously White's great
Look,
removal spell that also
we've all felt this one, man.
it also gains you 2 life,
The
which
two life is so
is
relevant.
so huge. Huge. I've had games where like my opponent in combination with a couple of different things and 2 makeshift bindings were gaining like they gained like 9 life. And I'm just like, well, they're at 7 life right now. I would have killed them if they didn't
They'd
gain
be
all this
dead.
life. So that is really relevant. After that, at 59.3%, Inside Source. It's a 3-mana 1/1 that makes a 2/2 when it enters.
This,
That's
think about it this way. In almost any set, this would be the top white common. Like a 1/1 that makes a 2/2 with like two extra upsides basically on it. Like, come on. But no, in that set, it's only third best white common. Finally, we do hit a non-white card. Up next is Person of Interest, continuing with the theme of commons that make two things. This has been like the way I pick the best common in every color in modern sets, like recent sets, is there like a creature that makes another thing
thing. Yeah.
at an efficient rate?
So it's just like something that gives card advantage. So are we talking about like Novice Inspector makes a clue? We have Person of Interest and Inside Source makes a creature. Every other time we've looked at stuff, like the majority of the time, you see like it's a green common or a white common that's like 3-mana 1/1 draw a card. You know, anything that gives you an extra card in a limited set is, I mean, in Magic in general, that's really good. But in limited, it's everything. And so be one card being 2 cards,
Exactly.
forget about it.
Plus, like this card is 4/4 for four in red. And like Zach was just saying, generally in limited, 2/2/2s is better than 1/4/4 because like limited's so much about that combat, like setting up double blocks and stuff like that you could take one of those 2/2s, pair it with a 3/3, and then you're trading up for the or trading down. The 4/4 is trading down. And so
Also, a
generally,
4/4.
like
I
you
was
can
gonna say.
just use that, like, oh, 4/4/4 is good in green. In red, it's very good. But having your power and toughness split across multiple bodies is generally a plus on top of that.
Exactly, which is another reason why murder is so bad in the set, because all these cards make two things. Murder is a one card that kills one thing, obviously not as good. Which also leads us to our next best card, which I called out very early. This is the first thing I said. If you go back to our episode just talking about cards from the set that were spoiled, like Dog Walker is one card that makes three bodies. Like, this is amazing. It's so versatile. And it also gonna be your two drop
And
Doc
just like a
Walker.
3/1 is just nice in this format because there are so many 2/2s that it's like, sure, this will trade. The body will trade with something, you'll be up the 2/1s. And if they don't, then they're taking 3 damage. Like it's a lot of damage. So, and he's in the right colors, right? White, red. But I would say when I first saw this card, I was thinking that's great in the white, red, go wide deck, obviously. Like, obviously, it's awesome there. I think this is just any white deck just plays this.
Every white deck plays this.
Yeah. And probably every red deck as well.
Like, flipping double white can be hard, especially because now everyone's fighting over white. Like,
Yeah.
that's a definite thing you can feel in the draft. But yeah, absolutely. Like, Dogwalker's still my favorite card. Technically, it's not the best one, but I picked it as the best early on. I thought it was going to be a huge player, and it is.
I
Like
think
we
we all
said,
knew Thraben Inspector is going to be the best common, though. Like,
it was definitely like picked out, but like of
card
all
is like a
the,
constructed all-star. It's not even like a limited card that made its way into constructed. Like, it was a constructed
all
all-star,
star.
so.
Popper, all star, everything. But of all, like the gold
And it has a
color,
relevant creature type in this format, so it's like,
yeah, it's just everything.
Dogwalker's great.
Dogwalker's great, and just to top it off, for everything we just said about going wide and having lots of creatures and doing all the stuff, the next best card, Jeff, what is it?
On the job. One thing I like about this set that I think is cool is like they've taken so many limited staples and just put like investigate on them, or just put a little rider that is thematic to the set. They've taken a lot of cards that are typically thought of as like slightly suboptimal limited cards, but good in the right deck, and just been like, let me sweeten the deal. Let me sweeten the pot for you. And one of the things I learned, well, again, don't take what I learned seriously because I can't seem to win a fucking match, but, one of the things that struck me early on is like how that deal sweetening really pushes these cards into like, oh, this is a good limited card now.
Well, what's interesting with On the Job to me is that, like, this happened to me once where my opponent was playing like two or three of these. And I always think that this card is one and done. You have one On the Job in your deck, except for because, like, the point is that you build up a big board and you attack. On the Job is an instant and you just get to kill them out of nowhere. And, like, they thought they had an extra turn, they didn't, they're dead.
Right. What's the like classic one that's in the core sets that this is making
Inspiring
reference
charge
to?
or
Yes,
something.
inspiring set it, inspiring charge. Anyways,
Charge
plus 2/+1.
one. It's something like that. I can look it up, but
Yeah.
this card was also in Cons of Tarkir, except for it was at a sorcery speed, so it was a lot more.
That's awful.
Yeah, it's a
Sorcery speed
lot.
version's real bad.
Yeah, and so the thing is, I don't think it's called Inspiring Charge. As I'm looking this up now, I can't find it, but. Anyway, this card, because it has Investigate on it, it makes it seem like you want to continue playing the game. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? Like, normally
right.
this card just is just like the game's over. You don't need a clue. There's no reason to have a clue. But this card makes it seem like, oh, actually, I should have more of my game. I can play two of these because the clue helps me get to the next one,
Yeah.
which I just didn't really think about until now. Inspired Charge is the name of the card.
Inspired charge. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's right.
very close, but not the same. But yeah, I just thought, like, I
Well,
think I
if
just kind of glossed over it, and I was like, oh, this is Inspired Charge plus Investigate whatever, whatever. But it does
yeah.
kind of tell you the game should continue. So what I'm saying is you can have multiple on the job turns as opposed to just one, which is what I normally save up for. And so
Yeah.
it changing the way I play and seeing my opponent attack with three creatures and be like, is this an on the job turn?
Yeah, on the job's got to be on your radar in this
And
format.
so this is very similar to Embercleave math. You have to do on the job math. You're like,
Right.
do I die to on the job if I don't block correctly? All right, I got to think about that because they might play it right now, even though normally I don't think that they would. This looks like an attack that I might not block completely, but now I kind of have to.
Yeah.
And make weird blocks just in case I can try to get some extra trades from on the job mana or math.
And the problem is, like, I line up blocks that feel safe against on the job, and then it's like auspicious arrival, and I'm like, ah, fuck. Like,
Well, so that's another really good
was
card.
expecting plus two plus one. God damn it.
So with you saying that, I did want to bring up a point that, like, I was talking about how murder is not really good in this set, as far as like,
It's nowhere near as good as it usually is in limited.
I think just in general, murder just has gone down just
Yeah, maybe I should
overall.
say it's as good as it is now. Like, people have are used to murder being the best, not only the best black common, but generally the best common in the set, and that's just not where limited is anymore. I
I
don't
don't
think
want
murder
to.
will ever be the best common in a set going forward, as long as they keep similar design principles to what they're doing now.
Exactly. And I don't want to just say like people. I want to say like me.
Myself
I
included.
have to learn that murder is not going to be the best card.
Yeah, agreed. I fell for it as well, where I was attracted to
Especially
black in my pools because of murder,
because
and
of
now I'm
murder.
now I like it doesn't it it's not a convincer, but it, like, it doesn't make me play black, but I'm playing it if it's in my pool,
Yeah,
that
it's
kind of thing.
double black. That's what's really bad. If it
Yeah, it's
wasn't double black.
double worst color.
So like I almost wish I had a Dark Banishing instead, which is
Yeah,
like
because no one else is playing black because it
Yeah,
sucks. So,
exactly. Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, Dark Banishing is
mean, they definitely don't know.
it's two and a black for an instant that destroys a non-black creature that can't be regenerated.
We have a couple listeners who joined our Discord recently that have been playing a long time, so they know what Dark Vanishing is.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, it feels like in this limited format, Dark Banishing instead of murder would be a home run slam dunk. That would be
Yeah.
great way to bring it back to the sphere of the world. Imagine, I mean, like they have to print murder. Like obviously they have to print murder because it's a murder set.
It's a
Like it's
murder
in the
mystery, yeah.
title. But man, they should bring back Dark Banishing.
Yeah. Okay, but we got sidetracked a little bit. I did
Sorry.
want to say one thing about
Go
On the
ahead.
Job.
Okay.
So On the Job still has all the upside of Inspired Charge, that sometimes you just win the game, or you force such blocks that you blow out their whole board and then you win the game on the next turn, right? But what I've liked about it is I really don't mind just using it as a combat trick to kill like one creature because of the investigate, right? Like, Inspired Charge never had, like, if you used an Inspired Charge suboptimally, you were like, ah, that was like
Why
four
would I do
mana,
that?
and I'd like. And so they tend to just clog up your hand, which is why you would never play more than one as well. And this one's just like, especially if you draw the second, you're like, okay, just attack with everything. They're going to block well. I get one creature and I'm up a card. Like, totally fine with that. And then it opens, like you said, opens the door for the subsequent ones as well. Like, if you have the mana, obviously it's still clunky, but the floor is so much higher, right? The ceiling is the same place as Inspired Charge, which is you win the game, but the floor is so much higher because you really just don't mind just launching it off to win a single combat even. And
Also,
sometimes you get the two for one out of it, right?
And you can beat up on opponents like me who are like, wow, you played on the charge that early. That's your on the job turn.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, there's no other one in your deck because why would you play two?
Yeah, nobody plays
Sick.
two.
And then they kill you with on the job later, and you're like, well, you played two? Oh, but I guess I am dead though. And like,
You're so bad, though.
and so don't be like me. This is the world of don't be Zach. Don't be constantly berating your opponent, being like, ah, you're stupid. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. And then you lose, and you're like, but I'm smarter than them. How could I lose? And not look back and be like, oh, I made some mistakes because I didn't expect them to be doing this, and I should look at them a little bit more, you know? I did want to say that we're specifically looking at like a lot of like two color decks, which I have seen, obviously. Majority of decks are two color, though I have been seeing more just like straight three color decks than I was expecting to see.
Same, yeah, even in sealed.
Well, I think, well, to me, especially in sealed, because when I played sealed. To be fair, I only played sealed like three times, and when I was looking at my cards, it was like I have to play three colors. Like I cannot play two. There's nothing good enough to just play two. I have to play three. I don't know if that's the way that you have felt about it, but
I've always played two colors in sealed, and I just keep losing to three color decks that have no mana issues ever.
yeah, maybe that's
And
your
I don't take
deal.
any turns off to fix either.
Fix or
And I'm
ramp or
like, if you
anything.
took a turn off to fix, I would have won that game. But when you just draw it au naturel,
Yeah. They just go like white, black, white, whatever. Sorry. White, black, blue, green, red. That's what I was trying to say. But I've had a beer or two or three. Sorry. I had pre-show beers. fuck. I feel like I don't even know where I am anymore. I feel like normally I am so in love with the limited format and things are going really great, and this wish-wash of being like, I absolutely know what the best commons are, and then like playing and being like, actually I have no idea. Maybe I should be playing just like five color soup and like just whatever, and then I get smashed even when I do that. And
And then I look at how other people are winning in the data, and I'm like, this is what I thought was good.
I'm just losing. And so then it comes back to is, am I playing horribly?
Yeah,
Like, are
like
my
what are the
decks,
mistakes that we're making, right?
what are the
Like,
mistakes that I'm making? Like, am I attacking too much? Am I not forcing trades when I should? Or like, and the hard part is I want to be able to tell you that something that I have the answer, that like this is what I've been doing wrong and this is what I learned and blah. But the thing that I've learned is that I am
still don't know.
still don't know. I'm still in that process. And that's all I can say is that like I'm in the process of trying to figure this out and trying to keep my head on straight and not get so tilted that I can't play this format anymore, which it feels like I'm close. Like I don't know if anyone else has been having a difficult time with this, but like I normally just draft. I stream and I draft a lot, and I was just like switching to something else to take a break because I was like, you know what, I have to have something that I'm used to, that I know how it works, and like it's fine. And it was a nice refresher, and it was a good way of being like, wow, I can't I know that Magic has different formats on purpose so that like you can play Magic but just in a different way, so you can get like you can take a break from other things. But this felt very much like I really needed a break from limited, and I didn't know it until like I actually took a break. I was like, wow, that was so much fun. I had a great time. I did well. My deck worked.
I won a
I
game.
won a game, you know? And so now I feel like I can go back and be like, all right, now let's get to it. And I really want to solve this puzzle that for some reason I just can't get it. But
Yeah. I think one of the takeaways for me from tonight and from, this discussion is like one of the difficulties in limited, if you're losing and like consistently, so it's not You can only lose so many times and chalk it up to bad luck before you're
Yeah.
like, okay, maybe I got to address this. The problem is you don't know if you're losing the game in the draft, or in my case, in the deck building, or if you're losing your games to the games.
Yeah.
And I think it feels like to me coming out of this and looking at the data, and I've watched a couple of streams as well where I was like, okay, this person doesn't seem to be building different decks than I am. I think I'm losing the games in the game. I think I'm building what I think is a good deck. Seems like that is a good deck.
Yeah.
So that means that I'm not like dialed into the flow of the games, like the pace of the games, how you end up winning, how you end up losing, like what are the real turning points. So I'll have to try and like maybe think about that a little more. Like, am I blowing removal too much and then losing to something that I could have played around? Am I, jamming into counter spells and being like, it's a counter spell, it's limited, you gotta jam into it when some cards are just too important? Like, it's a tough format because
It
like
is.
there are just so many rares and so many uncommons. I think that's what I'm feeling more than anything. People talk about the bombiness. Rares are rares, but there's a lot of uncommons. Every deck has so many more uncommons that I'm used to.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's like high powered limited kind of.
It
And I
is.
think I'm still tuned to low powered.
Low
Like,
powered.
I'm like, I sometimes I'll just have this situation where I'm not thinking it overtly, but my gut feeling is like, oh, it's gonna be really tough for them to get out of this situation. And they keep getting out of it. And it's like, I'm just
Yes.
used to a lower powered
I think
format.
that's exactly what it is. And I think you really hit the nail on the head there, because this is still the advent of play boosters, and I am feeling that in a way that was hard to articulate. But I think that exactly what you're saying is there are more uncommons than we're used to, because there are packs with like five uncommons. They're like things go around. There are more rares. There just are. Like, and that's the new
Like, you open your
world.
sealed pool, if you see six rares, you're super bummed.
Yeah, because you
I'm
should be
expecting
opening
eight to
like,
ten.
yeah. And so like you're kind of like, oh, I didn't open a rare land. That's weird. Like, hopefully it's in my colors. Like, that's a thing that's just part of Magic now, which is not what we're used to. And it will
All
take
of my
some.
like autopilots that I've developed over time are, I
Are
think, used
just
to a different, like,
range, like cards. So I do think that play boosters will take some time getting used to, and I hope that that time is shorter than it feels right now. Feels it I but I think that there is a very distinct contrast between non-play booster formats and play booster formats at this time.
Sometimes it feels like I'm playing Cube,
Yeah, it
It's like
does.
every deck is
No.
so powerful.
It just does crazy things. I just don't think it should be able to do. And it can. The case in point, opening two Aurelia's Vindicators. Those packs could have easily had two, or like obviously they probably had two, if not three rares in them. Because that happens often. You'll see like three rare packs that are even passed to you because the rares are all shit, you know? And people are taking the uncommons and the dog walkers over it and the novice inspectors and stuff. So
Meanwhile, I'm like, oh, I have three lethal attackers. They have one card in hand. Like, I think we're good here. And the Zoni. You're like, oh. So I have to somehow kill that or I lose the game, because if they attack, like, I can't win if they attack. And the top deck, no.
Land. Yeah.
So I think that's my biggest thing, is like, I gotta recalibrate some things up here. That's like, you're not as far ahead as you think you are, because
Yeah, that's a huge one.
the decks can really, really swing back. But conversely, you're probably not as far behind as you think you are, because you have some bangers in your deck as well. So I'm just used to being like, ah, I can't really win this game, but whatever, let's draw our card. Or maybe I'm even conceding too early, who knows? And then the flip side, I'm like, should I develop another creature to the board? Like one time I did the, I d decided not to develop another creature to the board to play around the wrath, because there are a few
There's three.
wraths.
There's three wraths.
And my opponent was black white, so that means two
They
were on the
two were on the table.
table. But whatever this, and this is where I was saying every mistake I make is like just loses me the game. But the card they did have is exactly punished me for not playing the extra attacker. And then later I was like, there are more cards that punish me for not playing the extra attacker. But it was a rare, and like I was so far ahead that very few cards could come back other than like this rare or whatever. Maybe it even was a Zhonya. I don't quite remember what the rare was, but it was like, oof, if I'd played the extra attacker, I would have won. And now I'm almost certainly gonna lose. And I was like, I thought I was playing around. I thought I was in a position, like my gut was telling me, you're in a position where you can even afford to play around a wrath, which seems like it's what your opponent has, the way they're playing.
Instead of
And then
three cards in one,
and so
if
instead
that
of it was
more.
just like a 3-for-1 kind of thing, and it was like, ooh, the fourth creature would have gotten around that. But yeah, just we needs a tweak. We need a tweak.
I think it's a mental tweak, like really what it is, of like random times where I'm like, I'm holding my wrath and I have two creatures that it feels good and we're kind of at parity, and then they play Inscrupulous Agent and I have to discard my wrath. I'm like, well, I was saving that to make some trades and then have you develop your board, but I played a land or something and I just it fucked it all up, and like all of that stuff. Like
That's the other one I'll call out is sometimes I don't play a land because I'm like, oh, I have a looter in my deck, so I shouldn't play this land. I'll hold it in case I need to loot it away. And then it's like draw something with investigate, like draw a land and then something with that, and then you're drawing a few cards in your turn, you can't play it all, and you're like, oh,
If I
you
played
just
that
always play my land.
land,
Just play the fucking land.
yeah. Well, but sometimes you don't. Like, that's what's hard. Is like sometimes there are situations where, man, I wish I had that extra land so I could pay the extra one for the ward. I have one, but not two for the ward. You know, that happens so often. Or you're
So
like,
often.
or I wish I had two to crack my clue or whatever.
I do want to give credit to Wizards. The Ward 2 staple to Morph completely changes how Morph plays,
So
and
different.
it's much better, I think. It's a much better play. General play pattern. Even though, I'm losing all the time at this format, it's still like I acknowledge that disguise is the right way to do morph in today's game.
I think you're right. Yes, I do agree with that. It is annoying. But it does, I think what it honestly is telling me is like just don't try to kill, like do not point anything at a disguised creature ever.
And never spend turn two holding up removal. Don't ever do
No.
that.
Don't ever
It's
do that.
so bad. Unless it's one of those removals that can't be countered, but even then, like, just don't.
So the other thing I wanted to point out with this is that removal obviously is good, but combat tricks are at a premium now
Yeah, combat tricks
because
are pretty good.
combat tricks and auspicious arrival, like you said,
Auspicious Arrival is very good.
is very good because it specifically gives +2/+2, which is specifically enough to beat a like
Is it
morph
on the top
creature.
commons list?
It's
Okay,
in, yeah.
it's a healthy ways down there, but it's still what, like top 15 or whatever.
Yeah, as far as like top white commons, I'm sure it's like up there. But it is like important because obviously it also makes a clue. It's in the best color, but it also is a way to kill disguised creatures that doesn't target them. And so it always just costs two. That's why Fanatical Strength is good. That's why all these like that's why
I mean,
the
they have to
chase
block, to be
they have
fair.
to block. The chase is on is like better than I wanted it to, or it's so much more annoying. And I hate it, like I hate that it's a three mana I hate three mana like combat tricks. I think that they're just like inherently bad. You should have one or two and that's it. I do not
Yeah,
like ones
they
that
have to be
cost more
like
than that.
devastating if they cost
Yeah.
three. Like,
And the fact that the chase is on is not, but it is so easy to see when they have a chase is on, because like you look at their mana, you're like, this is the chase is on. Like, I know you're doing
yeah.
this. So like it's not a great card, but the fact that it is a combat trick in a ward centric format, like this format is ward everywhere, which makes removal go down, because it's, even though they added a million it can't be countered clauses or whatever, like of all the it can't be countered cards, like Out Cold, I feel like is everywhere.
Out cold is, yeah, pretty good.
And that one seems pretty good, but all the other ones are just like, well, Out Cold hits two creatures and has lost me games, because I just need one attack and then we're good. Nope. No. Now I lose two attacks. Okay. Now the game's over. And you get to draw a card later. Okay. Well, now the game's. So all
It's a
these,
beating.
like.
I think the chase is on is decent. I
I
never thought I'd
know.
say that. I think it's pretty good in this format.
And that's what makes me mad, is because I think it has a stupid name. There's some, like, the names of these fucking combat tricks are so annoying and dumb. On the Job is the stupidest name ever. Can we just talk about how stupid On the Job is? I'm sorry. On the
That's
Job, horrible name. Also, I talked about this in the Drunken Vorthos episode, I'm sure, but this is a story spotlight card. It depicts Kellan, Kaya, and Agris Kos,
the
and
team.
it looks like they're the team going out on the job to hunt and fight the bad guys. They're not a team. Agris is just there. He's just
He doesn't
talking to
even want to
them.
work with them.
No, he doesn't hate them, but he's just like not really interested in them. And Kellan and Kaya are doing stuff, but this card makes it seem like they're best friends. Whatever. That's just drunken rambling to this point, but like the fact that this card's actually really good kind of makes me really mad.
Yeah, even more annoying. Because when I saw this card first, I was like, whatever, it's draft chaff, so
Yeah,
who cares?
I'll
Like,
maybe draft one sometimes.
yeah,
And now it's like,
maybe in my Boros
sorry.
decks that don't quite get there, I'll put one of these in
I'm
there.
so sorry. I'm supposed to put two of these in my deck. Fuck you. I'm so mad. This is like, oh God. Anyway, I've just been relearning Magic, I guess. And I'm not really mad about it, but I'm just frustrated with myself. I also want to say that it might be weird to know, we haven't actually talked about the list impacting these decks at all. The list and special guests and all that stuff. You real will run into random list cards, but the highest performing blue card for game and hand win rate is Hard Evidence.
Oh, you mean blue Thraben Inspector?
So Hard Evidence is just a sorcery that costs a single blue that creates a 0/3 blue crab and investigates. But this is a Modern Horizons card that is on the list. It's not even in the proper set of. So you gotta tell me that a random card that comes up every once in a few drafts is the best blue common, most winningest. That's crazy. That's crazy.
And you'd see the number of game in hand is like way lower than all of the other cards on the list. It's like
Yeah.
1500 to 40,000 or whatever. But still 1500 appearances and it's winning 56.5% of the time. It's
Means
not
who
like it's shown up 10 times, you know, it's
it
shown
just
up a
means
lot.
that this card is really good, and if you do see it and you're in anywhere close to blue, go for it. Like, it is better than all the other ones that we're
It
talking
also
about.
means blue's not that strong because it doesn't have any, like, even Hard Evidence isn't like in, it's maybe the top 20 commons overall.
Yeah.
Whereas green and red actually put some commons in the top.
Yeah, we have like Bite Down on Crime, Locks on
Locks on Eavesdropper,
Eavesdropper.
like all the green cards I thought were good.
So Locks
Fanatical
on,
Strength, I knew was good.
I knew Fanatical Strength was gonna be good. Loxodon Eavesdropper looked not great to me, but it makes a
Oh,
fucking
really?
token.
3/3 that makes a clue, man. 3/3 that makes a
It's a
clue.
4-mana 3/3.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't like. But sure. Yes. 4-mana 3/3 that makes a clue, draw a card, attack. It just seemed like a weird detective in green that didn't belong there. You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't fit in the detective's deck. This is just like here. But it ends up
I've always
being.
been high on this guy. I'm like jamming him in all of my decks, but.
Yeah, well, that's good. Nervous Gardener went from, I think this is kind of bad, but you'll play for fixing too. You should actually play lots of Nervous Gardeners, and they help out a lot.
Especially in my sealed decks, I'm like actively looking for nervous. Like one of the first things I do now is I scroll
It's
to green and be like, do I have Nervous
Nervous
Gardeners?
Gardeners. Yeah. Because, like I said before, this is the cheapest, like, disguise creature. Like, it's the cheapest one. And so, like, when you play this, you should play this first. You should always try to flip it up. It easily trades with the other disguised creatures. It's not like a 1/1, you know.
That's what I love about it. If it was like a 1/2, I'd be so mad at them. But no, they
Yeah.
made it a 2/2.
And so, yeah. It's even a
The
2/2 that
number
could,
of times
like,
I'm like, I don't want to attack in and then have them flip. This be a Nervous
Nervous
Gardener.
Gardener.
Have them
They have,
flip,
like,
block, and like get a
get a
land right
draw
away.
card. You're like, fuck. Okay, you get to trade and draw a card? Fuck you. It's also not a 2/1, so it eats dogs. You know what I mean? Like,
It's a good card.
it's a good card, and I thought that it
Especially
was
in
terrible.
sealed, like to splash your bombs and stuff. So,
Yeah. It also, once again, I said this last week, but it does get the surveil lands because it says basic land type, not a basic land.
the surveil
So
lands, by the way, are amazing.
amazing. Like, I've been drafting them, like we said before, just because they're on my no pass list, but like they're also just really good because there are two different commons that just get them from your deck and put them into play or into your hand.
And surveil's just really good and limited. Like
Yeah.
you're it, the tapped like in constructed, it's close. Like, is it worth it to surveil versus have your land be tapped? Depends on your deck, what you're trying to do, a lot of different factors. In limited, it's like a no-brainer. It's almost always it's much better to surveil and figure out how to sequence your lands. Rather than because you're limited, you're not going to be using all your mana every turn unless you're my opponent. And so,
So, Jeff, you're saying that Snarling Gorehound is like the best common because it surveils, right? And surveilling
yes,
is the best thing you can
that's
do.
what I was getting to, Zach. Thank you
Yeah.
for getting there quickly. Snarling Gorehound is definitely something that I remember what it does. It surveils when you cast another creature or something, and it has menace, maybe.
Yes.
That's a card that I don't personally play, but I
Same.
sure see it on the other side of the battlefield often.
Yeah, and that started making me play it. I actually, this is the type of card that I do like,
Was
and
like,
I,
yeah, it feels like a Zach card.
yeah, and I do
I
like
hate it,
it.
man. I think the card's terrible.
I like it in the white black deck. It's totally fine, but you shouldn't be, but you shouldn't play black red. If you're thinking of like, oh, I want an aggressive deck that's black red. Black red is one of the worst. It is 53.3
Black red always
percent.
sucks these days.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm so glad that
It's
like
the
black red.
worst, man.
It's just not like,
Only
oh.
deck worse is blue black.
Yeah, which I thought was good. That was one weird thing that I saw about this. I thought blue black was actually like relatively good.
It has good uncommons, but I think the reason blue black is here is that blue and black have the worst commons.
This makes more sense why I keep seeing the zombie, the 3/1 flying, get your crack a clue. They just fly around everywhere in the draft because they're not any good. And the
Because it's the
Sumala
worst deck.
Sentry, which is the green white uncommon, which cares about creatures flipping up and you put counters on everything, that card's really good.
Cards the house.
So, yeah, man. This was a much different on draft episode than we've done before. And
It's
I'm re
normally like we're not maybe not always doing our best, but we're normally at least like
pretty good.
treading water, you know?
Yeah. I was like, honestly, before we even did this episode, I did want to point out that green, blue, and blue red, so that's Simic and is it, have exactly the same wood percentage in the middle, which is also funny. They're sharing middle at 56.4%. Blue green is not on my radar at all. Like as usual, I just throw it to the bottom. But I thought that the blue red deck was pretty good. It was like one of my top three.
Dude, it's one of the best decks after all the white decks. That's pretty solid. It's like tied for best non-white deck.
It's true. You're right. You're right. All right. So I should be playing my favorite color, white, and just get on with it.
I think it depends if you get the what's the like gear pack or whatever.
The
That
Detective
fucking
Satchel.
that fucking card. If you get that card, your deck like win rate goes up. Like every time you get one of those cards, it like chunks up.
I can tell you that's not true. When you first pick Detective Satchel, and then you pack one, pick two Detective Satchel, your draft doesn't come together. It
No.
doesn't. Nope.
Well,
It
that's just
doesn't.
because you're forcing blue red at that point.
I know, but like, who else would force it besides me? It's the perfect. Go get your white cards,
Because all the
everybody.
people are fighting over white, and some of them reluctantly move in to blue red as when they don't get the white.
I also kept seeing all these packs that were like the Gear Drake and the Satchel in the same pack. I was like, that's
Yeah, it's not what
brutal.
you want to see.
You can't do that. You can't pick the Gear Drake and be like, well, I hope Satchel comes back around, or vice versa. You're like, this is just not gonna
Anyways,
happen.
I'm mostly talking from the other side. When I see blue
Okay.
red, if they don't play Satchel, I'm feeling great. And then they play Satchel, and I'm like, game's gonna be tough to win now.
And then they play another Satchel, and you're like, game's really impossible.
Yeah, don't know why I'm still here.
By the way, I'm gonna draw a card and make 2/1/1 flying
And trigger
blockers.
like everything I have on the board.
Yeah, it's just what's gonna happen now. God damn it. Anyway,
But yeah,
play
take
white, don't play
away.
black.
White's great, black sucks. Red second best, I think, but red and green are basically pretty good, and blue also kind of sucks.
This was nice to see that red green, like actually as their own archetype, is like 55.5%, which is pretty low down, like what, seventh best. I have been valuing it much higher than that. I really liked those I thought I liked the disguise decks, and every time I see Yaris as a card, I just want to play Yaris. I
Yeah,
think that
you were
card
talking
is
about Yaris last time.
I've drafted Yaris so many times. Now I'm realizing that, like, not that I should just pass on a Yaris because it's so good, but like building a whole deck for it to work isn't as powerful as I want it to be, and it's just not winning me games. I should play white cards.
Yeah, that's the secret. And the thing is, like, draft is self-correcting. There's going to be a lot of people who want the white cards. But white is so deep. I would
So
say
deep.
it can handle two and a half-ish, like drafters, maybe three.
I think
Like,
he could probably handle three.
yeah, so.
Especially with like disguise stuff and like all that jazz.
Right, that's right. Yeah, so you sh I think it's maybe one of those things where you're supposed to fight for it. Not be the person who's like, oh, everyone's fighting over white. I'm gonna go take all the black cards. I really think it's like it could be a format where black's just that bad and white's just that good. And because of disguise, like you mentioned, that's a really good point. Like you probably get there anyways. So I think you're supposed to be, if you see like a novice inspector, you're supposed to be taking it and you're supposed to fight, I think.
Yeah. It is also like if you're looking at like top black commons that are gonna, if you're looking at them, the we're looking at, okay, these are the top black commons. That's what I'm trying to say. Is that Extracted Confession, which is the edict effect. This is the best black common currently. Highest performing
Because it,
one.
yeah, just because it trades with a
Disguise creature
disguise creature.
without having to pay for ward. It also kills their bomb most all the time if you have collect evidence. The next black common is Inscrupulous Agent, which eats stuff that helps them play their bomb. It is a 2-mana 1/1, which is the reason I didn't like it originally. But apparently just exiling cards from people's grave or their hand is very good, especially when you have
I don't know if
multiples.
it's very good. It's the best black can do, is
Yes, it's the
the
best the black can do. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Because the next highest performing black common is the Snarling Gorehound, which we talked about earlier. And then after all those, it's murder.
Oof.
So
That's
murder
a
being
tough ride for murder, because it's not like
fourth.
those are particularly good cards that beat it out.
Yeah, so murder is the fourth best common of the worst color.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's hard. That's not what
Yeah.
I that was not on my bingo card for this set. This is crazy.
There are so many cards, it's just in the overall common rankings ahead of Extracted
Murder.
Convention,
Oh,
Confession
is
too.
Extracted Confession? Yeah. Yeah,
Like
what is
every
it?
other
Just
color has a handful of cards that are better than that.
yeah, the one thing
And
I would
white
like.
has, like, I think is every white common better than that? Like most of them seem to
Just
be.
about. I wish that if anyone from 17 Lands is listening right now, wink wink, please put numbers on the side, just like a scale
Oh
that tells
yeah,
you
that
how
would be
many.
awesome.
It would be really, really helpful so we could like quickly look and see how far down certain cards are. But until then, we'll just count.
Seasoned consultant right above Extracted Convention. Confession.
That's not good.
When I see that, I think like super medium white cards.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, so the thing is with Seasoned Consultant, it's better than you think
I
because
mean, that
everything's.
it's good, but
Yeah,
as far as
it's a.
white's concerned, I'm like, I think we could do better.
Well, the thing is, it's a 2-mana 1/3 that attacks as a 3/3 in most of its decks. So it ends up, for whatever
Block it
reason,
blocks disguised creatures,
it blocks disguised creatures and still attacks well
yeah.
because all those everything's like go wide, you know. But obviously it's not something to write home about, but like
Better than every black card.
I like it as a 2-drop, you know. Anyway, Jeff, I feel like this has been an episode of our podcast.
That's correct.
Do you have any last thoughts before we move on?
No.
Fantastic. That's great. I love it.
I do have one, but I'm going to save it for the for closing time.
Oh, perfect. That's what I like to hear. So let's get right into it. This is our last call. Let's get right into a last call. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can tell that I'm exhausted from losing at Magic and also
Yeah, I
drinking
was
beer.
just mentally drained from
Mentally drained, bro. Let's go to last call. As always, we rate our beers on a scale from bronze to mythic, just like the tiers in Arena. So we got to rate this beer here tonight. This has nothing to do with what tier you are in currently, because we're not throwing shade on any tiers. Everyone's in different tiers at different times. It resets all the time. It doesn't really matter. But bronze beers are trash. They're horrible. You have to spit them out. You pour them down the drain. You piss on them as they go.
Oh,
I don't know.
dark. Yeah,
That's pretty intense.
if we encounter one of those, I'll have to remember that. Silver beers are just bad or boring. So, bad microbrews or most macrobrews just find their way into this category.
Gold beers are fine, but you probably won't drink them again.
Platinum are solid, and you would drink it again.
Diamond beers are exceptional. You like these a lot and you recommend these to your friends.
Mythic, best of the best. These are the white the white commons in murder that Karlov Manor of the beer world.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Jeff. So we are drinking Rat Klops this evening.
Yes. Happy to say it was not one of the situations where when I actually sit down and try to think about it and analyze it, I
Yeah.
realize it's terrible. But I also don't think it's great. I thought it was good.
I think it's good as well. But
Yeah.
good as in like solid. I think Rat
Yeah.
Klops is solid.
Yeah. I think it's like there was nothing objectionable about it, but there was also nothing that leapt out at me. I guess, and was like, oh yeah, this is Bellwoods. This is what makes them a great brewery. It just kind of feels like a run-of-the-mill IPA. It has, the usual kind of hops mixed with that kind of fruitiness at the top, and then not a ton of body coming through, just sort of, that is an IPA. Like,
I think it's nice. It feels more, I think I like this one a little bit more than you. That Ratclops feels like it doesn't have as much stark, spiky bitter notes. Do you know what I mean?
It's
Where it's like,
not super bitter.
yeah, it's not super bitter. It has a little bit more of like that, which I would recommend, I would talk about as body almost.
I guess when I think of body,
Those.
I'm thinking of like an English or an amber, like that kind of where the most of the flavor is coming from the grains that make up the beer and not the hops that they put in.
Oh, interesting. I guess I usually think of body as like mouthfeel of like something that feels really like silky and large. And this one has a good amount of that. And it has like the sweetness to it. It has almost some of those tropical notes. It is the type of IPA that you could probably give to someone who doesn't love IPAs that would be like, you could actually like this one. Because it's not the bitter skunkiness, you know, those ones that people don't like. This one's a little bit softer in those notes. And it's the juicier type. I like this a little bit more.
That's why I think it's sort of run of the mill, sort of East
They're
Coast style, like juicy
East Coast,
IPA.
exactly. It's like every brewery around us has a version of this, which is why you say run of the mill. So with that
Yeah,
being
maybe run of
said,
the mill for this style, I guess. If you're
yeah,
not used to this, then
no, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think that, yes, run of the mill for sure. It is not their best IPA and it's not their best beer.
I usually expect a bit of a funk from anything that
It's Bellwoods.
Bellwoods does, like a little sour, in there.
Interesting.
I didn't really get that from this one, but
Yeah.
maybe that's just an expectation that is older, because when they first started, it was
Possibly.
all about
Funky
sours,
stuff.
and they had like sour stouts, and like, I was like, oh,
Yeah.
that's weird. Let me get one
Yeah.
of
I think they might have moved a little bit closer to like a lot of their catalog is like IPA, double
We just need
IPA,
like a
triple
flagship thing we can
IPA.
make and don't have to barrel age for 2 years
Yeah,
before we can sell it.
I think essentially that's kind of where they've moved to. With that being said, of the things that they I live really close to Bellwood, so I drink their beer often. Ratclops is one of the ones I like more than other stuff.
Gotcha. For me, it was like textbook silver.
Textbook Silver.
Platinum.
I was
Sorry.
like,
No.
whoa.
Yeah, platinum.
Okay. I was like, what? I was like, holy shit. It's
Hits hard,
platinum.
apparently.
Definitely. I was gonna say it's definitely it was platinum. I think it's to me it's like higher platinum than you, but like it's not something I would recommend if I told people to go to Bellwoods. Obviously, I was gonna talk about Jelly Bean,
Silver would be such a
of
harsh
course.
rating.
I was like, whoa, that's so intense. You know, I kind of like it. It's good, but you know, honestly, it's
whatever.
silver.
Bronze, textbook
Bronze,
bronze.
textbook
That's why
bronze.
I'm peeing on it right now.
I just meant because it tastes like piss anyway. But yeah, platinum beer, good one.
Platinum.
Check it out if you haven't tried it before. Let's go to closing time.
Good.
So you can always reach us at Arena Regulars on Twitter and Instagram.
You may also find us on Arena under the username Arena Regular Podcast because we've run out of gyms.
Yeah, maybe from all of our limited debacles,
Escapades.
escapades. If you want to talk to me personally, you can find me at Zulberg, that is Zulberg on Twitter and Instagram. I'm also on Twitch at regular Zach Monday through Wednesday. But Jeff, where can they find you?
Honestly, I would love it if you could come tell me how to play this format and what I'm doing wrong. Come to our Discord channel, please. We need your help. The link for that should be in the show notes. And I go by regular Jeff in the Discord channel.
And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, all of those things. But honestly, if you want to help the podcast the most, the first thing you could do is just tell your friends about us. Word of mouth is the best way to get our word out there in our podcast, as well as if you go to our Patreon. If you go there, you can give us a couple tips monetarily, as well as actual tips in our Discord. But those helps a lot. It really makes sure that the show runs smoothly and continues to keep the lights on for both me and Jeff. This has been the Arena Regulars.
Reminding you to forget everything you just heard because clearly we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Night. All right, that's fine.